This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We were talking about the shoes, right, in ihram. So if someone believes, like, for example, that you can wear any type of shoes as long as it doesn't cover the ankles, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions, do not wear khuf unless you don't have any shoes, unless you don't have any sandals or slippers. And if you don't have sandals or slippers, you can wear your khuf, but cut below the ankles. And when you cut it below the ankles, it indicates that it's closer to the sandals. And that's the difference. The deciding factor is whether they have sandals, whether the ankles are covered. Because when you wipe over your feet, your socks, if it's below the ankles, is your wiping valid? It's not valid. It has to cover the ankles. That means that khuf, Islamically, if it's below the ankle, it's not a khuf. It's closer to a sandal or slipper. Right? In this case, you can't wipe over it, so you can wear it. Some of the scholars have mentioned that, okay, if somebody doesn't have anything else, they could actually wear that. But what you should be wearing is na'l, which is sandals or slippers. The slippers that that are well known, that don't cover most of the feet, just have some straps to keep it on the feet. But the main factor is the thing that's below. So what I'm trying to mention here, if there are differences of opinion amongst the scholars, and you choose the one that they all agree upon, then فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, then he's safe. He's safe. So like, for example, the meat of the people of the book. Some people say, okay, this is the meat of the people of the book here in this country. It's permissible because they are the people of the book. Right? Even in Seattle, I don't think there's too many people of the book here. Like, they're against any type of deen. Like, forget it, they're even against the Christians. So if they're going to slaughter, I don't think we can come at, there's no legitimate response and interpretation of that. But if you're like in the Bible Belt, you have people who slaughter. And there are some people actually, in Seattle. Do you know when you go to the slaughtering houses, who do you see more than Muslims? Anybody know? Not the Jews. The Jews, they have their own place already. They have, and so, Mexicans. Not Mexicans. You see the Orthodox Ethiopians. Like, I've been, like the one in Auburn, there's a slaughterhouse there that you can buy. Every time I go, the Christians, I see more Christians than anyone else. Right, but they're not regular Christians. They're the ones who are the Orthodox Christians. And they are the ones who, on Sundays, you'll see them have, even in the mornings. Sometimes you confuse them with Muslims. But you don't confuse them because they wear the white hijab. Right? When they go to, in the morning, if Sunday mornings, if you ever drive home from Fajr, wake early in the morning. Like, you'll see them close to to their churches, right? And so they don't eat the slaughtering of the people of the book here. So they actually go slaughtering themselves, right? They slaughter themselves. So the slaughtering of people like that would be something that's permissible for us to eat, right? Do you understand? But there are some people who believe that, okay, America is a Christian country. And so the slaughtering of the people here is permissible, like chicken and so forth, as long as the slaughtering is done. And it's not done in haram way where it's electrocuted and it dies because of the electrocution and so forth. Then, and of course, they have the government agencies that overlook these slaughterhouses, right? That make sure that they're slaughtered, actually, not dying because of the electrocution. Sometimes, but of course, whether they follow it or not, that's a different matter. Because when it comes to meat, there's a lot of things that are even amongst Muslims, right? And so, if that's the case, let's say, for example, you don't want to make it more difficult upon yourself, but let's say you eat that which is halal only, and you don't go to Safeway and buy the meat there, then on the day of judgment, you meet Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Even though there might be difference of opinion among some scholars, you always pick the safe side. But if you believe, you went and you did your research and your homework, and you asked the sheikh that you trust, then that's, you base your deen and you act upon that, then inshallah that's acceptable for you also. But some people, they say, okay, that's acceptable for me. But if it's doubtful in terms for you, then when you leave the doubtfulness, then you're following the sunnah. Anytime you leave the doubt, you're following the sunnah. Why? With the exception of a few issues in which we will cover some right now, inshallah. So it needs a little bit more elaboration when it comes to that, in terms of the principle behind that. And so when it comes to doubt, there are different reasons for why a person may be in doubt. Now, number one, when the one thing that can cause, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. One thing that can cause a person, a couple of things that can cause a person to doubt is, we mentioned the first thing is knowledge, right? So first thing is, sometimes it's because of the person's lack of knowledge, or, you know, lack of knowledge, and so it's doubtful for him because he doesn't have the knowledge, because of lack of knowledge. Sometimes a person, the reason why a person would be in doubt is because of the doubtfulness of whether the acceptance, I mentioned acceptance of a proof, whether that proof is applicable in this place or not. And we mentioned some examples of that. So when it comes to the proof, sometimes evidences and proofs, you have the same proof and the same evidence, and you don't know which one to follow, because some scholars are of the opinion that it is this proof is acceptable. Others say that proof is not acceptable. And sometimes it's the same hadith. It's the same certain interpretation. And certain interpretation, like for example, there are some interpretations that are acceptable. There are acceptable differences. And there are differences of opinion amongst the scholars. So what do you do when it comes to those issues? When it comes to those issues, of course, you just ask the scholar that you trust, and that's what you're, if you don't have the capacity to, some people don't have the capacity to learn more, meaning they don't have the time, or their lifestyle doesn't allow them to learn more in depth in that matter, and so they become, everybody to a certain extent is dependent on another person, and so to a certain extent you're blindly following another person also. But you're not blindly following in a sense that you're following out of, you know, you without any evidence, but you find someone who you trust, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fas'alu ala dhikri in kuntum la ta'lam. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. For example, there are differences of opinion that both hadith are used. And you know, when a person goes to ruku and comes back from ruku, right? When you come back from ruku, some people, they say, they put their hand here, the right hand over the left hand. Some people put their hands on the side, right? So the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that you put your hand on the side, and both use the same hadith. What is the hadith? The hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he rose from ruku, he returned every joint to its mafasirihi. Mafasil is its joint to its original place. To its original place. So where's the original place? Some people say it's here. You know, everybody gets to, nobody walks around like this, right? And then some scholars, like the Hanabila, they say that you put your right hand over your left hand because you're returning back to the original place. Original place before you went to ruku. So is it original place before you pray, or the original mafasilihi before you went to ruku? Do you understand? So that's where the difference of opinion, but both are opinions that, you know, they differed during that time. And right now we still can't figure it out, because the differences are still there. Do you understand? So in this case, you can just, like, you know, if you don't know which one, you ask this sheikh that you trust, and he says, okay, you should put your hand like this, then do so. If he says like that, then you know what? Both are legitimate opinions. That is permissible, meaning they both have proof. In fact, it's the same proof. So there are certain times when you have doubts. And when you have doubts, what do? You ask the people of knowledge. So you seek knowledge. And then if you, you know, learn more to the point where now you're able to understand a little bit more, you might be able to make a decision to the point where you might say, you know, I think this is the stronger opinion. And if you feel that that's the stronger opinion, then you don't have any other option except to follow that. Because if you think this is correct, then you don't have any other option. Because, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you know that this is the sunnah or this is the way that it should be done, this is something that's agreed upon by all the scholars. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, Ajma' al-Muslimun. The Muslims are in agreement. Ajma' al-Muslimun. That means the scholars of Islam are in agreement. Annahu man istabana lahu. Man istabana lahu. Whoever is clear the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not halal for him to follow anyone except for that which he realizes is the sunnah. So for some people, they can read, they know, they understand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the capacity. And then it's like, no. I am, for example, I'm Hanbali 100%. I'm Hanafi 100%. Even though they're able to study, Allah gave us the capacity to learn. And people who are given the capacity to learn, you should use that capacity to learn, to study. But there are some people who are not given the capacity to learn. You know, like you have some people in the village, in the villages, in the small towns, in Somalia, and in the Cambodia, when they ask you a question, they just say, is this halal or haram? You mention, oh, Imam Shafi'i says this, Imam Ahmad says this, Imam, like, you know, you're just confusing me. Halal or haram, right? Halal or haram, because even if you tell them the proofs, they don't have the capacity to learn it, you know? And then you're like, okay, difference of opinion, okay, like, okay, what do I do now? And that's why sometimes a person, some people, they teach others, they give the difference of opinion, this opinion, that opinion, that opinion, like, you know what, this is the opinion of the scholars. And then you go out of it, you become more confused. Like, okay, now I thought I was going to know what to do. Now I'm even more confused than when I started learning. And so you don't want that to happen also. So a person, if you're teaching others, just give them what you feel is the closest to, based on, you know, the capacity and understanding that Allah has given to you. Especially, you know, if you have students and those who want to know, just give them whatever is the strongest opinion, so that they don't go out of it more confused than when they came in terms of studying it, before they studied. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the completion of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about what? He speaks about the heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and of course we are hadith number 6, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah wa inna fil jasadi mudghah. Indeed, wa inna fil jasadi mudghah. There is a flesh, piece of flesh in the body. Idha salahat salaha al jasadu kullu. If it is pure, it's good, then it's, everything else is good. What does that mean? Some people might say, you know, the heart is only an organ that pumps blood, nothing else. Like everybody's heart, whether it's working or not, it's the same. Do you understand? So a good heart and a bad heart, what does that mean? A healthy heart. Like if I don't have a heart disease, then it's healthy. No, the heart is much more than that. The heart in the Arabic language, and even physically, the Prophet said, the heart itself is also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. And they have a heart that they understand not with it. So some people, they might think, well, you know, like the doctors have said that the heart is only an organ that only pumps blood. It doesn't think. It's not used to understand. It doesn't have emotions. When we say that it has emotions, it's just allegorical. It's not real. It's not true, right? And so this is what people say. But you have to understand that when it comes to the body itself, the human body is very complex. The DNA, the cells, each cell is very complex. Each cell, people don't really understand. They might tell you that they can understand certain things, and then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a lot in terms of the, you know, but in comparison to what's really out there, it's nothing. وَمَا أُطِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I have not been given of knowledge except for a little bit. So we think, you know, just like 20 years ago, the doctors thought that they knew a lot. And then in those 20 years, there have been many discoveries. I'm not talking about in space or outside of our body, you know, inside of our body that we don't understand. And that's why those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't realize how amazing the human body is. You know, we don't understand how it really works. Sometimes we claim and we think that we understand more than what we do, but we really don't. That's why there's every single month, you know, like you have the New England Journal of Medicine, you know, every few months it comes out, there's a new discovery. Some people are saying that this is healthy for you, this is okay, and then they find out it causes cancer. And they find out this does this to you, this does that to your body. And they find out the body actually functions not like this. It's like a little bit different. And so there are so many things that people are figuring out every single day. And it's only wa fi anfusikum afala tubsirun. Like in yourself, do you not see? Do you not see? And so the heart itself is a very, very complex organ. Not as simple as just something that pumps blood. That's like externally you might see that. Even the blood itself. Like, did you know that? Like, subhanAllah, you know how amazing just a single drop of blood is? Do you know a doctor takes that blood, right? And they look at it. And in that blood, in that drop of blood, they can find out every single disease you've ever had. Do you know that? Just a drop of blood. Do you know why? Anybody know why? Like if you've had, like say, if they took your blood right now, and they said, have you ever had tuberculosis? They would be able to find out. Have you ever had a certain cold? They would be able to find out. If you ever had the coronavirus, they would be able to find out just from the blood. Like, when did you have the coronavirus, for example? Maybe 3 years ago. If you had the flu, any type of flu, they would know. Why? Do you know why? See how amazing this is? Because every time you become sick with a certain disease or a certain sickness, the body produces a type of antibody. So that when that, it's like inside the cell, inside the blood itself, there's a map. There's like, hey, we see that, we know what to do. The body knows what to do to destroy that virus. Right, and that's how vaccines work. How do vaccines work? Why does the vaccine work? Because your body recognizes that. Then it fights it and it knows what works. Then it keeps it, the record, in the blood. Okay, this is what works. So if I see that again, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the exact same thing. Why? Because we did it before. So all that map is in what? From the day that you're born until right now, if they took your blood, they would know what diseases you had because of the antibodies that are inside your blood, the blood that they can find out. Look at how amazing that is. Like, subhanAllah. And that's just a small portion, small piece, just your blood. That, subhanAllah, they can detect this and that and find out. And you have a whole history. In your blood, you have to host it. You can't tell your doctor, say to them, oh no, I've never had the coronavirus. Yeah, no, you did. Like, how do you know? Like, your body told me you have it. Your body told me. Like, what are you talking about? My body told me. Subhanallah. Everything. So on the day of judgment, whatever you did, not only does your body record it,
Your body remembers it. Remembers everything. Your blood remembers every disease you've ever had. Every sickness that you had. It's recorded in there. Ya Allah. And on the day of judgment, your hands are going to talk. It's like, how does my hand know? Does my hand have like a heart? Ya Allah, every single blood cell in our body records all the things that happened to us. And if you're able to read that, the doctor looks at it and he's able to read it. He says, you just recently had the coronavirus. I can see it here. What is he looking at? Is he looking at the coronavirus? No, the coronavirus, God. What is he looking at? He's looking at the blood, the antibody that killed the antibody. So you have that. Your body, every single blood cell knows what you did, you had. It recorded all of that. And it remembered it. Every drop of blood in your body has it. Ya Allah, how amazing is that? Just think about that. How can you come from nothing? It's so, your body is so amazing, so complex. And then on the day of judgment, your hands and your feet will remember everything that you did. And it will talk. And it will talk. And you're like, who allowed you to talk? It's Allah, the one. Allah is the one who. Allah, our body records everything. And then the angels also record it. And everything that happens to our body is recorded. And on the day of judgment, everything will come out. Like if doctors can find out what your body recorded, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Such amazing, amazing, our bodies are so amazing. And then the heart, you think it's just beats? It beats. It's such an amazing organ. Such an amazing organ. Do you have to put oil? You know, when your engine keeps on running, you have to stop your engine. If you let your car, the engine keeps on running and keeps on running, keeps on running. What do you need to do to make it run smoothly? Gas, of course, oil, you need to change all the time. A whole lifetime, your heart doesn't need oil change. It's always working, right? Normally, a regular, normal heart until the end. Just keeps on beating. And can you even control it? Can you stop beating for a minute, please? You can't. Because if it were to stop beating, you would die. Like, you don't even have control over your own body. There are certain things that you can control, and there are certain things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't even have control over it. And it's your own body. How can you not believe in Allah? So the heart itself, وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ. And what is the qalb? The qalb is here. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Attaqwa hahuna." Where does he point to? He says, "Attaqwa hahuna." He points his head. No, he says, "Attaqwa hahuna." Just in case you doubt, like no, it's not there. It's here. Like no, it's not there. It's here. But what does it mean? It's actually there. Which means what? The taqwa. What is taqwa? Your consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's in the heart. And where is the heart? Just in case, like, okay, maybe the heart is the head. No. The taqwa. The heart is here. And only recently, did you know that there have been studies that, you know, recently we've had what we call heart transplants. I know a brother who his father just recently, not recently, but a while back, he had a heart transplant. And he said after the heart transplant, like his character sort of changed a little bit. Like, it wasn't the same. Before, he wasn't so emotional. We're not talking about physically, but emotionally, he's different. Before, he wasn't so emotional. Now, every little thing makes him cry. Like, that's not something physical here. It's something emotional. Something, you know, in his mental state, it's different. And you know, when it comes to doctors, they're very, very keen when it comes to what kind of, you know, what's permissible in terms of the information that comes out, especially for donors and when it comes to medicine and treatment, right? You have like rights where people don't know your health conditions. If you don't want anyone to know, then nobody should know. And if someone donates something that if they don't want the person to know who they are, then you don't know, right? You have certain privacy laws in relation to medicine and the practice of medicine. So the family realized that, you know, they were trying to figure out, like, where did this heart come from that they got? And they said they got a heart from a woman. And so they said, subhanAllah, he started acting more like a woman than emotionally. He's a man, of course, but he started to, like, his emotional state was different. And everybody realized that that's not how he was before. So when he did have that heart transplant, it did affect him. How did it affect him? He's, you know, where's his, you know, he still has the same soul, right? But the heart is different. And so does it affect a person when it's like changed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. He knows our character and he knows who we are better than we know ourselves. He knows what's best for us better than we know ourselves. But there have been many situations where a person, like I told before, there was a man, there's a girl, this girl that recently had a heart transplant. And before the heart transplant, she was not into music. She was not interested in music at all whatsoever. Nothing, like no interest, no. After the heart transplant, she started becoming more interested in music. And so they wanted to find out whose heart did this person take. And for one way or another, they were able to find out. And so they visited that house of the girl that was, I think she was in an accident. And so they used her heart for it, this other girl. And they found that, of course, she started liking to play, you know, musical instruments, piano and things like that. And then this family, of course, has the room of the girl that passed away. It's still the same. They didn't change in anything yet. It's still the same. So they visited the room, you know, together, because, you know, they came to visit and they visited the room of the girl that passed away. And of course, her heart is in this girl after the heart transplant. So they bring her to the room and the girl, you know, the family opens up saying, yeah, she used to love music. She liked to play piano. She used to also write her own, you know, songs and her own music. And then they opened a drawer or somewhere in the room. They found out, oh, you see here, this is her. This is the song that she wrote, right? These are the song that she wrote. And then she reads it. She reads the song. And then she stops. And then the girl that got the heart from this girl that passed away, she completed the song. She completed the song that her mother just saw for the first time. She was just looking into the, you know, like the stuff that's in the house or in her room. She took it out and said, look, this is her song. And she's reading it. She stops and the other girl completes it. Like, where did this other girl know about this? She's never been in this room. She's not the person who wrote this, right? Where do you think it came from? وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts that understand not with it.
And so the doctors might say this and might say that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, there is a morsel of blood. And they call this, what do they call it? Cellular memory. Because it happens so often, there's a terminology for it, the cellular memory. Like some of the memory is in the cells of these, you know, the organs. So, it, of course, it, some people might say, like, oh, it's in the head. But the head, she didn't get a new, same brain. She didn't switch brains. Right? Is this the heart? But, and there are other incidences also. I think there's a book about it. If you look up cellular memory, even if you look online, look up cellular memory, there are many stories. You can find out cellular memory. The cellular memory stories of people who have cellular memory and heart transplant. You put those two terminologies together, you might be able to find some really, really interesting stories. Like, this is like, wow. Like, goes against, you know, sometimes we think we know so much in medicine, but in actual fact, we know so little. We know so little. That which we know compared to that which we do not know is what we don't know. We know a lot compared to what we did know, we didn't know before. But compared to what's still left that we don't know, there's a lot more. There's so much more that we don't know. Like even ourselves. Like we think we know so much. Well, you know what? Try to switch, reverse the aging process. Can you make, you only dream. People only dream. It's like science fiction. But death, Allah created death. And everybody's going to die. And when you get older, you can't flip something. You can't change it. You can't change your body and make it younger. And it won't become younger forever. You just keep on becoming older until you enter Jannah. Okay, that's where you have youth, forever youth. That you'll be young forever. Meaning young in terms of like you won't grow old anymore. You don't need to sleep. You know, it's always, you don't need to rest, you don't become hungry. All of that is gone. Like, all of that is gone. It's like the angels don't need to eat, you won't need to eat. You just make tasbih, but you are alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do all things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us in this world the way we are right now. Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah. Indeed, in the heart, there is a morsel. If it is clean and pure, then everything else is clean and pure. And so that means the heart is very significant. It's the area where taqwa is. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah idha salaha salaha al-jasadu kullu." If it is clean, pure, then the whole body is good. That means everything else about you is good. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ But if it is bad, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ It is indeed the heart. So what does that mean? What should we be doing? We should be doing all that we can to purify the heart and to cleanse it of the sicknesses of the heart. So what you need to do, we have to look at what? Because the heart itself, there are two aspects of it. You have the physical health of the heart, right? Everybody knows, you know, a good heart, a healthy heart, physically. But there's another aspect of it, and that's the spiritual aspect of the heart. If this heart is healthy, what is a healthy heart? A healthy heart is a heart that is clean and pure. And how would you keep it clean and pure? By repenting to Allah, because every single time you commit a sin, there's a black spot. There's a black spot that's put on that sin, that heart. There's a black spot. How does it appear? Yeah, you can see it, but there's also a spiritual part of the heart. And that sin causes the black spot to increase and increase and increase. And it will increase to the point where it becomes totally black. And what happens to a heart that's covered up and is totally black? What does the heart do? The heart is a place of understanding. وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts that understand not with it. So that's why if a heart is covered up, and it is covered up with because of the sins, it will not be able to distinguish good from bad, and bad from good. It's like when you're driving and your windshield is dirty. If it's dirty, you can't see the way. You can't see the road. Or if you have glasses that are dirty, you can't see. So if your heart is dirty, it's covered up, you can't see. You know, like sometimes in the winter when your heart, when you're about to go to the masjid or you're about to go to work and your windshield is totally like iced up, right? And you're trying to turn on, it's too cold, it's taking too long, like I'm gonna go to work late. So you like try to clear just the spot and you turn up as me, but you have to go, so you're like looking. If you can't see, what happens when you can't see? You might end up you might have an accident as a result of, because you're unable to see clearly. So if a person is unable to see clearly in life, then there's shubuhat, there's doubts that can afflict it. Doubtful matters. You can't see clearly. And so when the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَ أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. There are doubtful matters. For you, for a person who has a clean heart, they're able to distinguish good and bad, right and wrong, easier because they can see clearly. But those whose hearts are not clear, that halal, that's clear, that's haram, that's clear, is mercy. So the beginning of the hadith and the end of the hadith are not different. It's the same. I mean, there is a connection between them. Like halal, haram, and doubtful matter. Because the heart can become sick. And if the heart becomes sick, there are different things. When a heart is sick, and it's not healthy, when it's physically sick, what happens when you're physically sick? You can't go to the masjid. I mean, you can't do physical things, right? You can't get up from bed. You don't have the energy to run. You don't have the energy to do regular work. Sometimes you can't even get out of bed because you're so tired and so sick. You don't have the energy because your body is sick. Your body is sick. And those who have heart disease or they have heart problems, where they get tired quickly, as soon as they do something very light, what happens? They're so tired. They have to sit down and rest. Even though that which, for a regular person, that's nothing. You wouldn't get it tired. But if your heart is not healthy, and that's why people who don't exercise, as soon as they start exercising, what happens? You start running one block, you go up the stairs. But if someone's running every single day, they can run five blocks and still not be tired, right? Right, because their body is physically healthy. When your body is not physically healthy, it's hard for you to do things. And so the heart, when it's spiritually healthy, it loves to do good deeds. You just love to read the Quran and you can't get enough of it. You love to come to the masjid. You can't stay away because that's where you feel comfortable. You love to give charity and help others because that's what makes you feel good. And you're able to do it. When it's time to pray, you pray. When it's time to do good deeds, you're quick in doing good deeds. But then when the heart is sick, when it's time to read the Quran, you read the Quran like, yeah, Allah, it's not time. And you can't go anymore. You're tired. Or you're distracted. And then when it's time to go to the masjid, tired. I can't go. I don't want to go. Or when it's time to give in charity. It's very hard for you to give in charity. For others, it's easy. So those whose hearts are spiritually sick, it becomes very difficult for them to do good deeds. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to call Bilal to make the iqamah or call the adhan, he would say, "Arihna biha ya Bilal." And put us at peace with it. Put us in a tranquil state with it, because that's what they're looking for. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wajulat qurrata 'ayni fi as-salah." And the coolness of my eyes, meaning the comfort and tranquility and happiness and the peace, I find it in prayer. I find it in prayer. So there are some people who find peace in other things, in many things. But a believer finds peace in doing good deeds. A believer finds peace in coming to the masjid. A believer finds peace in reciting the Quran. And that's why the Uthman ibn Affan, he said, "Law tahurat qulubuna." If our hearts were tahurat, pure and clean, if our hearts were clean, ma shabi'na min kalami rabbina, we would never get enough of the word of our Lord. We would never get enough of the word of our Lord. Why? Because that's what you love. But for some it's difficult. For others it's easy. Just like a person who's sick, it's hard for them. So like when you make dhikr, مَثَلُ الَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ, so they make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah, is the life of the person's heart. If someone does not remember Allah, it's like someone who's dead. Because the remembrance of Allah to the heart is like breathing. When you stop remembering Allah, you suffocate. When you remember Allah, then it has life. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub." Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, do our hearts find tranquility. And all of these times, I'm mentioning all of this because the word heart is used every single time. The heart finds tranquility. So the heart is a very, very important morsel in the body. If it is good, that means you keep it pure and clean. How do you clean it? You clean it with istighfar. You clean it with good deeds. You clean it by remembering Allah and recitation of the Quran. And so when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person does good deeds, the more they clean themselves. And that's why consistency is very important. That's why prayer is very important, because every single day when you pray, you cleanse your heart. Because in the remembrance of Allah, it cleanses it. It's just like when you're praying, it's like your body, when it gets dirty, you're cleansing itself so all the time. So the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and it's in the chest. And that's where also the diseases, and that's why the people of Jannah, Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. We extract everything from their chest of the ghil. That means this enmity, hatred, jealousy, all of that, and they become ikhwanan ala sururin mutaqabilin. In Jannah, you don't have any of that hatred. You don't have any of the jealousy. You don't have any of the envy between each other. Everybody is just, hey, you know, you know, when you have friends who have the same heart, are good, same character, they're nice to you, they love you, they don't have envy of you. When you're with those people, you enjoy your time with them. Do you like to be with people who don't like you, who are jealous of you, who are envious of you? No, because even when they praise you, like when they don't like you, even when they praise you, it hurts. Right, because in their praise, there's something there that hurts. It's like, even when they praise you, you have to read between the lines, like, yeah, this guy. Outside they say, but you know why they're saying certain things. It might sound good. You know, like sometimes, you know, when, you know, between spouses, right, when you have problems, when there are problems between the spouses, sometimes, like, your spouse might say something, your wife might say something to you, or your husband might say something to you. Sometimes you say something and it sounds good. Everybody thinks it sounds good, but There's something there. You have to know between the lines. Read between the lines, like, you know, no, no. You're saying it, but it's like, yeah. It's like your wife says to you, right, when you get to buy the milk, when she tells you to go buy milk, she goes, it's okay. I'm okay. That's fine. Right? She says it's fine, right? It's okay. And you're like, you think it's okay? And then you sit down and you sit down and watch TV and you see what will happen. She says it's okay. And you sit down and you watch TV and then you realize, no, it's actually not okay. He goes, are you serious? Our baby doesn't have milk. And you're sitting down to watch, but you said it's okay. Yeah. Right. Right. And so sometimes, you know, when you're speaking to each other, even this beautiful, sometimes the words are okay, but it means something. Right? In Jannah, everybody's heart is sincere, is pure. There's like nothing in between. Like, you know, you're not hiding anything. There's no jealousy, hatred, or envy. Every word is just salam and salam. You're greeting each other in peace and only saying good things about each other and praising each other because sincerely only. And so the heart, how do we purify it? How do we clean it? Inshallah, we'll speak a little bit more about that. But I just wanted to mention that it's not just an organ that pumps blood. No. What is the heart in the Quran? And the word qalb, the word fu'ad, the, you know, like af'ida, you know, the plural of fu'ad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-qulub, also hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different words to describe that. And so what does it mean? What aspect of it? Inshallah, we'll cover some of that next week when we continue with the hadith number 6, inshallah, because this is a very important hadith. And as I mentioned, it is connected to the beginning. Remember, you might think, there are two different parts of this hadith. No, there are two different parts, but it's connected because it's connected to the shubha. That those whose hearts are not clean, they always follow the shubha. They always follow al-umur mushtabihat, the doubtful matters. And those doubtful matters are very dangerous because it will eventually lead you to haram. Lead to haram. And that's a result of what? It's a result of an impure heart, an unhealthy heart spiritually. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts sincere. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to strengthen our faith and give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Anyone have any questions before we continue next week, inshallah?